It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Yes. Welcome to another episode of Animation. Squad is back. Myself.
His voice just crackly. Did that?
Did it crack?
I didn't hear it.
I didn't crack either.
But maybe.
Myself, Rob, Brennan.
Yo.
No ice this week. But we're still the greatest fucking anime podcast.
Gotta get it early. Gotta get it out early so we don't forget.
It's so delayed. I love it.
In the entire fucking world.
In the entire fucking world. And, you know, we doing here one off, talk our shit, debates. And look at Brennan's lovely shirt.
He's
today.
Got a great shirt on today.
Explain, Rob, why is the shirt so great?
Brennan went to a school called University of Oakland, or is it Oakland University? Brennan?
It's all the
Just
same.
Clarify. Okay.
Not
well, he
in
went
Oakland.
Not in so Oakland.
Oakland, Michigan. Oakland, Michigan, not in California, not to be confused. Well, they have a basketball team. Syracuse University has a basketball team. Brennan and I were actually out on the road, and I said, hey, Brennan, our teams are going to be playing in the dome this year. Would you care to make a friendly wager? And Brennan said, yes, I would. I'd love to be able to make a bet with you. Whichever team wins, that person has to wear that team's shirt for 2 days. They came to the dome. I was actually at the game. It was around the Christmas holiday, so I got to go home and see the game. And I sent Brennan shots from the scoreboard
live
as it was going, and it did not go well for the Golden Grizzlies that day. And so Brennan, he is getting the first of two wears out. I've been holding on to this for a while. I'm so glad I got the opportunity to get one of these wears down. So one down, one to go. And Brennan, I gotta say, orange is your color. We might, Cam, another Syracuse alum. We might have to try and see if we can get like an orange aura around you as you're doing the power up.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna look great.
You know what?
This shirt orange brings out your glasses. That's what it does.
It does.
It brings out.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
The frame of your glasses looks good on you. Could you unfold your arms so we can see?
Really
the whole
makes
shirt?
It pop.
Can you unfold your arms so we can see the whole
I
shirt?
I want to see that nice big S.
Yeah, yeah, that's we gotta see the S.
When
bro.
You got the S on your chest.
Come on, man.
He didn't say how I had to wear it.
Well, Brennan's ashamed of his body, so he likes to cover up his stomach by folding up his arms, everyone. So that's why he doesn't want to show the rest of the shirt.
It's a good shirt.
But you look good in orange, buddy. Today.
Touch me again. Touch me again.
I've been in the gym. That didn't hurt for shit.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Did you want me to make it hurt? Because I was just being nice. Like,
hey,
that really the shit you want to talk
you,
right now?
Hey, don't take your anger out on me. You can tell this man is angry right now for having to wear.
Yeah, because I'm wearing
a
shirt.
Keenan, I appreciate
color.
You serving as a buffer for me right now.
Yeah, can I switch seats with you, Keenan?
No,
that okay?
We're set, man.
Hey, you're good,
this is,
man.
We got everybody's levels, like, you know, acclimated to,
yeah, to
you know
our voices. Well, yeah, you know what we do on here. And this week, you know, we normally do anime. But there was a really, really great show that we all watched early on called Invincible.
Yeah.
And Brennan is still upset. I can feel the heat.
He's just
coming from his
head.
He's
uncrossed his arms so you can see the shirt says, bring your game, which the Golden Grizzlies did not on that particular occasion. But maybe next time.
Oh, man. I wish Kevin Harlan was also here to just like,
it's coming
like
back so
be
bad.
Announced. He can just announce this whole thing with us. He can be here with us just talking about Brennan about like, oh, there's so many quotes right between the eyes, all that stuff like that. All right, Invincible, you know, we watched this short series with 8 episodes.
Yeah, I think only 8 episodes on the whole season.
It felt like more in a good way.
Well, I mean, because they were over, they're about 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
about 45 minutes.
That's right, you watched it too, right, Cameron?
I did.
Cameron, but we got Cam here too, guys. He's not visible, but he is audible.
Yep. Yeah, he said he'll chime in some stuff also. But this is, man, this is a good damn show. We know it's not anime, so don't be on here. Oh, wait a minute. Guys. But it's.
Do we have to go back into that debate?
Yeah, do we have to go over that again?
I'd like to just touch on that.
He's not here to defend himself. You
revisit.
No, fuck Ice. So to revisit.
Why does Ice have an authority over this?
He doesn't. He just has a strong opinion and never shuts up. So no.
He's still angry for the show.
Yeah, having a good time?
Go ahead, man.
Can I talk, motherfuckers?
Go ahead, man.
All right, so. No, anime is direct translation means animation in Japanese. If you ask Japanese people what Bugs Bunny is, they will say anime. The only definition that has really come out of the definition really has of anime has really come in other places in the world that are seeing Japanese cartoons that have a very definitive type of animation style for the most part. But now that line has been blurred by a lot of different shows like Avatar, the Airbender. There is one studio out of Texas, remember, that we found that had created anime that you, I mean, excuse me, as I used to say, a cartoon that he thought was anime because it has the same exact stylistics. It had Japanese voice acting, and it premiered in Japan. But because it was not made in Japan, Ice claims that it is not Japanese. But then the other argument to that is that, you know, a lot of American cartoons are made in Japanese studios, like the Batman series from the 90s. Almost all of the like animated like fighting series, stuff like that, are made by Japanese animated studio animation studios, which means that is that anime? Technically, those are anime. So the line is so blurred that for me, I don't really think it matters. I think when somebody says anime, you're really thinking Dragon Ball Z, Naruto kind of vibes.
Yeah.
But I think if you want to be literal in the translation, I'd say that, you know, this, in my opinion, this falls into the line of what is anime. Like, it really does. But I wouldn't necessarily call it that. I just know that it would fall within the definition.
True.
I think you have to, like, orient yourself in, like, a worldview because a lot of, I think the view that, like, that Japanese anime term is for those kind of shows only is very an American, like,
it's a style of animation.
From America, we've got cartoons and anime. The rest of the world just has anime, if that makes sense. Like, it's just animation.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
Animation is animation is animation, and then there's animation and then 3D animation like Pixar stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't argue the point. I think I put it all in that category.
Either way, this show is fire.
Yes, it was.
Rob's gonna do a short recap, and we're gonna
We got some news first.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sorry, my bad. This is still a new format, guys.
It's all good.
I apologize. So get into some news, Rob.
Yeah, we'll talk about a couple of things that are, I guess, a bit more widely accepted as anime. Some stuff we've watched too. Demon Slayer, the movie, Mugen Train, earned $45 million at the U.S. box office, making it the number two anime movie in the U.S. ever. You all want to guess what the first one is?
Pokemon.
That's a really good guess. That's all I got.
It's
Pokemon.
It's Pokemon.
Sure. Yeah.
Pokemon made $85 million. Gotcha. So, like, makes sense. Definitely a bit more.
Like Princess Mononoke.
I mean, yeah, Pokemon had a different buzz at that time than Demon Slayer did out here anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, huge with kids. So, like, and plus, like, the Demon Slayer movie is rated R. Yeah. You know,
oh, so good.
So the fact that it made that money off of that
animated movie,
right?
I mean, for comparison, the Broly movie, the Dragon Ball Super Broly movie, made $30.7 million. So it definitely beat that. And worldwide, the movie made $475 million. It was the biggest movie in 2020. You know, it wasn't released in the U.S. Even without that, it was still the biggest movie in 2020.
During the pandemic,
bro. It's the first year ever that a non-American movie was the biggest movie in the world.
That's dope.
Wow.
It was the biggest movie in the world. It's the first time that was ever
Worldwide, it's the most highest grossing animation, isn't it, too? Non-Pixar animation?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is crazy. I mean, obviously, it's a weird year for movies. You didn't really have a ton of, American tentpole movies out there.
$400 million is still a beast.
It's still a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
People really like this movie, and they should. It was good.
Yeah. I mean, 2020, all around, huge year for Demon Slayer. They sold 82 million copies of the manga in 2020, which is
insane.
Yeah. Was that number one, too?
I don't know. It was, I think, for manga. I was actually trying to find U.S. numbers to compare to that.
Yeah.
But, like, because I found some article that was like, oh, you know, Demon Slayer outsold all, like, Marvel and DC combined, which I couldn't really find any super hard evidence to back that up. But it looks like that still might be the case.
Yeah, I think I saw, like, somebody put together, like, a little, I guess, meme or whatever. And it was, like, that one. And then Jujutsu Kaisen was either two or three.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you and I were talking about that.
Yeah.
I sent it to you.
You sent it to me?
I sent that to you.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, bro, That's crazy. Demon Slayer, bro. I know there's a lot of haters out there because people hate when things are popular. When something's very popular and good, they just be like, you guys are just Demon Slayer dick riders and they don't want to. Yeah. Yeah, it was that one. Yep.
Rob, is that your chair that's squeaking so much?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But it's like, come on, man. Like, what's good is good, bro, at the end of the day. Don't hate.
But, I mean, Do you think there was more of a draw to see this movie more than some of the other anime movies that have come out, even like Broly, because that was technically like a side story and this tied basically directly into the main story straight out of the manga?
Yeah.
Which it's the next chapter in the show.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think that had anything to do with it?
I mean, it forces anyone who's watching it to watch it in that sense. Yeah. That you have to now to continue the story.
I feel like here, maybe not. I feel like there in Japan, yeah. But I feel like I think the hype just got to us from, you know, from over there, just like we wanted to see this bad, and we wasn't getting it. It was supposed to be out in January. We didn't get it then.
They timed it perfectly,
but it came out perfectly technically. But we were hyped for it for months, It was supposed to hit us months previously. So I think when we went in droves.
Yeah, because it was breaking all those records before it was really released here. So we in the States, I know we were all kind of just like, we're seeing that it's making all this money. All these people are going to see it. It's breaking all these records. And we were just like, when is it coming out here?
I didn't see one bad review even on Twitter. And Twitter is the place to shit on everything. Twitter is the place, if you want to see a bad review, go to Twitter.
It's a good movie.
I didn't see a bad review even on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also with the Jujutsu Kaisen prequel coming out as a movie, I mean, do you think this is the start of a trend with anime movies having a
bigger
footprint?
Oh, we know what that's going to be about.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think Jujutsu Kaisen is going to do nowhere close to the numbers. I don't think it's going to even do Dragon Ball Super numbers because I think the prequel thing is going to hurt it. I think if it was going into something afterwards, maybe, because of the hype of it. But, like, I'm confused about this prequel is going to even be about, to be honest.
How did
this
demon get split into all his fingers? How did the guy become the most...
I'm still watching it.
Well, that's the first episode, the demon that gets split.
Yeah.
Well, the prequel is apparently about, you know, how there's a second or third year student that's, like, not with them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Apparently the prequel, the chapter zero, is kind of about, like, what he's been up to.
Oh.
Okay.
So
I care less.
Kind of like... a side story, but also like, but this is also the dude that Toto's just like, where the fuck is this dude? He beat me last year. This is the dude that beat Toto. Okay.
Toto's a monster.
So,
yeah.
I mean, this is Jujutsu Kaisen. I'm going to see it.
I'm going to watch
it
regardless.
And I think it's going to get, I'd actually argue that, you know, Jujutsu Kaisen has a very, like, its fan base is growing rapidly. On the level of Demon Slayer. So I don't know if it's going to do the same numbers, but it's going to do well.
Oh, yeah. I think my prediction is to do around 20 here. Worldwide, I don't know. It could be huge worldwide. It could be probably a couple hundred million, but here I think it might do 15, 20 million.
I mean that's respectable. And if you think like if Demon Slayer releases another movie, say like you know they do the next few seasons, they get to the end and like maybe the last arc is like all culminated in like a big movie. You think it could?
Oh, it would break everything.
I was gonna say you think it'd come close to that Pokemon record? You think it would?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
If they keep the trajectory of the show, and after you guys have literally been jizzing yourselves about the manga so much, and if they stick to the whatever y'all been reading,
I agree with Brennan. If they stick to it, I think it beats his previous numbers in general for sure.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. One more story. Kind of talking about the Dragon Ball Super Broly movie that came out. There's another one. Yeah, right. There's another Dragon Ball Super movie slated for next year, 2022. There's no confirmation about what the story is going to be at this point. Akira Toriyama is heavily involved and has teased the appearance of an unexpected character. His full quote is an all new movie starring or an all new movie since Super Dragon Ball Super Broly is currently in the making. Just like the previous movie, I'm heavily leading the story and dialogue production for another amazing film. I really shouldn't talk too much about the plot yet. But be prepared for some extreme and entertaining bouts, which may feature an unexpected character. We'll be charting through some unexplored territory in terms of the visual aesthetic and give the audience an amazing ride. So hopefully everybody will look forward to the new movie. So it could be that the unexpected character could be an old villain returning like Cell or, you know, possibly Toriyama doing a spin on a non-canon villain like Cooler, similar to what he did with the Broly movie.
That's the hype right now.
Though the show has stopped, the Super Manga has continued, I know, with the Moro arc.
I'm caught up, yeah.
And it also sounds like they started to develop the movie back in 2019, shortly after the movie, so that's why they're able to kind of turn this around so quick after this announcement. Kenan, so you did continue reading the manga. Can you give us a spoiler-free, like, sort of, like, prompt about what the Moro arc is, who that character is, and how that's...
Yeah, he's like a cat that was, like, that was trapped for, like, maybe millions of years, or he was trapped for a very long time, because he can use, like kind of, like, magical powers, and pretty much, you can't fight him just by powering up. You can't be like, yo, Super Saiyan Green! You know what I'm saying? You know, I know it's no green, but, like, you can't go Super Saiyan Blue and beat this guy, because that means nothing, because he just, he eats energy.
Okay.
So he's a problem, but now they're on another arc and they're fighting a dude named Granola, and I know these names, but it's about to be really interesting because now we're about to see the Saiyans had did some shit. They're about to see the effects of what the Saiyans did to other planets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and this particular villain, he has some points, and they might give Vegeta, they might give him something special in this one in the sense of like. A W, because you know normally Vegeta fights.
Brennan doubts.
I want it, but I've lost.
I understand, but they normally Vegeta fights first, gets beat. Vegeta then Goku watches and whatever. This time, Vegeta was like, "Nah, you go ahead." Normally Vegeta doesn't let Goku fight first. He was like, "Nah, bro, you fight first." Something just feels a little different about this.
Yeah.
And Goku did not do well.
Really,
with Ultra Instinct, he did not do well. So Vegeta's
that
like
feels like a spoiler.
Well, no, I mean,
no, I'm gonna say he didn't do well. And so Vegeta's kind of looking around, being like, all right. So now they're on the next, we gotta wait for the next chapter to see what the reveal is of like who this person, who he really is, because they're on his planet and they're seeing some things that Saiyan's kind of left behind.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's. I'm surprised that they're going this route with the movie. I thought they're gonna go maybe Moro or this for the movie, but I mean, Broly Super was amazing. So
yeah, I mean, who do you guys think the unexpected character could be? Who do you hope it is?
I'm almost for sure it's Cooler.
Really?
I think they're gonna bring in. I think at some point they're gonna bring in Frieza and Cooler to now be canon, and so they can use that for the series also. It makes sense to me.
Brennan, you got any guesses? You got anybody you hope it is?
Omega Shenron.
Oh shit. That would be a big pull.
I want to see why though. I feel like Frieza makes more sense because he smoked Frieza. Frieza's gonna be like
cooler.
No, he smoked. I'm saying Broly smoked Frieza, and then I think he's gonna go get his brother. Like, yo, little bro, you couldn't handle this shit, type shit.
Hmm.
And I can see him being like, I got it for you. Then if this is the case, I'll take care of it for you, or we do this together. That makes more sense. That the Saiyans.
I'm not arguing. You took my guess, so I just had to come up with.
No, that's kind of what I was like. Yeah,
yeah. The Saiyans versus the Frieza brothers. I feel like that'll be actually even a dope ass kind of thing.
Yeah,
so, maybe Shenron would be fired just to say fuck you, GT.
Yeah,
I was even thinking like if we saw Oob, that'd be kind of cool to like maybe see him get in the mix since you know he was teased at the end of Dragon Ball Z, but Akira Toriyama never really got to do anything with him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because he's also
Majin Buu's reincarnation, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna spoil some shit, but yeah. My bad. That's why I was like, reeling it back in.
All right, yeah. Well, that's our news for this week.
I appreciate it, Rob. And I mean, let's just jump straight into Rob's recaps.
Yeah, sure. So, Invincible season one, keeping it as short as we can, because obviously there is a lot in this. We are going to miss some things. Obviously, spoilers ahead for the whole show. We're not going to get, obviously, none of us have read the comics, so we're not going to get into anything past the show. But if it's on the TV, if it was on TV, you're about to hear about it. So as the show starts, we see this world is very heavily based off of the DC Comics world, so it seems, with their version of the Justice League, known as the Guardians of the Globe. They're protecting the White House from a pair of villains known as the Mahler Twins. The hero that stands out the most, though, here is Omni-Man. He's a Superman-style hero that's clearly much more powerful than any of the other Guardians, which is partly why he's like not really part of their team. He kind of operates on his own. He's actually a Viltrumite, an alien called a Viltrumite, but he has a human wife and a son that is named Mark. And the show is mostly about Mark as he's just starting to develop his powers during his senior year of high school. Omni-Man trains Mark to develop his powers, telling him that, you know, Viltrumites, they're sent to different planets to help protect and enlighten those worlds. So Mark decides to become a superhero himself, and he names himself Invincible. As the name of the show. However, we get our first huge twist at the end of the first episodes when the Guardians are called together. And it turns out to be a trick from Omni-Man to get them all in one place so he could just brutally murder these Guardians with his bare hands and just collapses in exhaustion.
The fact that Brennan almost missed this and probably thought the series was going to be garbage had me heated.
What do you mean almost? I was on episode 4 before I had to go back and watch it.
Bro, that's ridiculous.
Were you just like, what happened?
No, I mean, I was putting it together. I was like, man, it really feels Omni-Man's really. He seems villainous.
He seems very suspicious.
Yeah.
I was like, he seems very villainous, but I don't know why. Like, he's like, they keep suspecting him. Like, this little demon guy is following him around saying he's doing it. I'm just like, I think he did it, but there's no proof. And he's like, oh, wait, Brennan, go watch the after credits episode.
I wish Brennan had watched the whole thing without watching that.
That would have been.
And then just been like, oh, no, he did do it. And then we're all just like, yeah,
duh,
he did it.
Did you guys know?
Episode 1.
But, yeah, they do have the Global Defense Agency, which is sort of like S.H.I.E.L.D. from Marvel, led by this guy named Cecil. They're doing an investigation of it. There's also this demon detective named Damian Darkblood investigating as well on his own. And with the other main heroes gone, Mark takes a larger role trying to save the day, but struggles both as a hero and in trying to balance it with his just regular life and, you know, struggles in his first real relationship with his girlfriend, Amber. He tries to fend off interdimensional invaders, needs help from another group of young heroes and his father to beat them. He escorts a manned mission to Mars, but ends up causing this huge diplomatic issue and the aliens living there unleashes a huge, like, plague of mind-controlling parasites on them, with one of them even making it to Earth, which they still haven't figured out yet. And when he puts his trust in a villain trying to reform himself named Titan, Mark is beaten within an inch of his life, and the new Guardians of the Globe are all near nearly all killed as well. Only for us to find out later that Titan was just kind of playing him the whole time. He does have some success. He teams up with a young woman superhero named Adam Eve.
She is fire.
Takes down a few villains, one named Doc Seismic, also besting a deranged young scientist who was turning frat boys into mindless robots during his college visit. Man.
That episode was hilarious.
That was crazy. And while all that's going on, Mark's mom helps to uncover Omni-Man's murders, working with Cecil, who for some reason banishes Damian Darkblood during their investigation. I'm sure we'll find out more about that. And the new Guardians of the Globe take shape, but they have a long way to go before they live up to the name, as they fight and deceive each other, with probably the most egregious case being Robot stealing DNA from one of his teammates, Rexplode, and breaking the Mahler twins out of prison to get them to make him a new body from that DNA. Just wild stuff. So just as Mark is starting to get a hang of things, his world is turned completely upside down. His father's crimes are revealed, and Omni-Man admits he was never sent to Earth to save it, but actually to conquer it. Viltrumites live thousands of years, and they look down on the human race, even referring to his wife as more of a pet than anything else.
Bruh,
but
he's a piece of shit.
But Mark was raised among the humans, and he won't just join his father's conquest at the flip of a switch. And in one of the most brutal animated fights I've ever seen, Omni-Man nearly beats Mark to death, sending him flying all over the globe, and the damage costs hundreds, if not thousands, of innocent lives. And in the end, though, Omni-Man can't kill his son that he raised, and instead leaves Earth entirely. And once he recovers, Mark agrees to take the place of Omni-Man as Earth's primary protector. But as the credits roll, we see all of these threats that still remain out there for him, left to address. And lurking somewhere out there in space are the other Viltrumites, who will certainly not be pleased that Omni-Man left his post. So there's a lot more to cover once we come back to season two of Invincible. And it's already been greenlit for seasons two and three.
Yeah, they can greenlit that shit for season four. I'm all in. Thank you, Rob. Rob, recap.
For sure.
Appreciate it, man. That was smooth, quick.
Keep it tight.
He left out a lot of detail with these beatings. Because, goddamn.
The kill count in this show is up there.
It's up there. And the brutality and just the murder of how it was even visually animated was just like, my jaw dropped multiple times. Probably each episode, I was just like, what the fuck? All right, let's just get into the questions. First question, we saw Omni-Man beat the dog shit out of his son.
Oof.
Okay, like you said, probably one of the most brutal scenes ever animated. He got zeked. Yeah. Oh, so are we calling
that's
it
a
that?
New name. That's a new name.
Just saying, yeah.
That's a new name, zeked.
He got zeked.
The classic Think Mark thing is going to be the classic meme for everybody. That could probably be our thumbnail. If you were a son, you had to defend yourself, who would you pick as an anime son to defend yourself against Omni-Man? I chose, and I might take somebody's pick, I chose Mystic Gohan. I think, there's a reason why I chose Mystic Gohan, because at that particular point, I liked his cockiness. That's one. Two,
he did have it.
Two, he was ready to kill Boo. He's like, yo, I'm not here to play with you, bro. I'm here to fucking kill you. I think you need that mentality to fight Omni-Man. I don't think you need the guy that's going to play around. Goku's going to be having fun. Omni-Man ain't fucking with him. Omni-Man's like, this is not a game to me, bro. I'm going to murder you.
Yeah.
So for me, I chose Mystic Gohan. I think Mystic Gohan, I don't think it'll be as easy as I thought it would, but I think he comes out on top, beaten real bad, needing a Senzu Bean.
That's a tough fight. Possibly. For anybody.
I could be wrong. Y'all can even debate me on that. But, you know, that's how I feel. I think he's going to need a Senzu Bean when it's done, for sure.
Definitely. If he comes out on top. Because, like, top, as much as Mystic Gohan was cool and cocky, like, he didn't win his fight. I mean, he won his fight.
He won his fight, but...
He lost.
He had that same cockiness where that cockiness got the better of him.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, all right, like, if you've got another form you can get to,
yeah,
show it to me then.
Yeah.
And then that was too much.
Then he absorbed, Gotenks or whatever. And that's what he did, right? I think he absorbed Gotenks.
Yeah, he absorbed Gotenks.
Yeah. I'm just betting that Gohan won't let that happen. Like, there's no, he's like, Omni-Man, go back, power up, come back, and then fight him again. You got to beat him that time, Mr. Gohan. I think he was like 16, 17 at that time, maybe 18. So that's who I would choose. Brennan.
I take Teen Gohan.
Teen Gohan.
Super Saiyan 2. Cell.
Yeah, I mean, he killed him. Like, that's the difference. He won. Like, that's the difference. He was a savage. He won. He's a monster. he was at that point in the Dragon Ball Z history, he was the most powerful character ever. Yeah, I don't know.
He
don't...
still had that same killer instinct too at that point.
Yeah, the killer instinct.
He did
was,
have the killer instinct.
That's
yeah.
when we really got introduced to his killer instinct.
Do you think he smokes Omni Man, or do you think it's going to be a wild battle?
I'd say that I think that it's going to be a crazy battle, man. Omni Man is very powerful.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
he's nuts.
Omni Man is very powerful. Like my secondary choice was going to be Mob Psycho.
That's actually, if that'll transition right into mine, because my pick would be Mob Psycho.
Really? Yeah.
Because I'm trying to come at this a different way. Like, I'm just like, if you're trying to go in a hand-to-hand fight with Omni-Man, I feel like you might already be on your back foot. Because he just, like, there's very few people I feel like could go hand-to-hand with him and be a match. Mob Psycho kind of comes at it from a different angle. And once he told him, like, I see your mom more as a pet, I feel like Mob Psycho would fucking snap, go to 100, and then maybe throw some curveball shit at him that he wouldn't know how to handle.
Ooh.
I feel like he would, like, that's just a different sort of playing field, you know what I mean? It's like trying to take him to, like, not exactly Gojo's infinite zone, but I feel like if he can rip up the landscape and just sort of throw everything that he has at him and try to rip him apart psychically, he might have a shot. Mm. But obviously, like, there's no way Mob is going to punch him to death. But he could just kind of come at him from a different angle. Because you always know, like, in the comics, too, you'll have those guys that are, like, super strong, and then they come up against, like, a Doctor Strange, somebody who's got these mystic powers, and it's just like, no, you don't understand.
Yeah, Professor X is the best remedy for Juggernaut.
Well, do you think Mob has, one, the intellect to get that off that fast? Because if Omni Man is like, yo, I got to fight this dude, and that would you're banking on him saying that your mom is a pet. He's already beat the shit out of his son before then.
That's true.
So Mob would have to withstand that. And
I would
then...
just say Mob would just if we put Mob in this conversation, Mob has to be 100%. Like, that's just it.
He's got to be already there.
That's he's already there.
He's watching Omni-Man kill everybody in front of him, and just like as the numbers going up, he can't be the first one out there.
That's not fair.
He can't be the first one.
We got to put him at 100. It's like, no.
Of course we got to put him at 100.
We didn't say Gohan versus Radix Gohan. Like, you know
exactly.
Saying?
But what I'm saying, if we pick two guys that were strong out the gate.
What about One Punch?
But he's not a
son.
He's not a
son. Son. Yeah, we don't know who's.
He's a son of somebody.
He's somebody.
Well, then that means it's anybody. I'll take the guy from Jujutsu Kaisen.
But no, what I'm saying, it's You'd a question win. Because I
it
say.
It says here, child to teenage.
Yes.
In the question.
Yes. So, fuck you, Cam. Who would you pick, Cam?
I was on the Mob Psycho team because I feel like I'm looking at Omni-Man is the way I kind of look at, like, Superman and the fact that he's, like, super strong in one side, but, like, the one thing that takes down Superman all the time is if you can control his mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Then he's done. And I don't see Omni-Man being super, like, his brain being any more developed or him having, like, psychic barriers or anything that would protect his brain from, like, someone else controlling him.
Yeah, we actually
so I think he's susceptible to that, in my opinion.
Because we haven't seen a lot of those style of powers on the show yet. We haven't really seen any psychic-style heroes. Most everybody is a brawler-style, physical damage-style hero.
Because, like, if Mob could just take control of him, then it all ends. Then it's done. The fight's over.
Yeah, he'd have to Professor X him or some shit.
Yeah,
okay. All right. So, well, he has a...
Because, like Rob was saying, there's no way you can really stand toe-to-toe with him, like, physically punching each other. You can punch each other all day, but, like, you have to come at him from a different angle that he's not prepared for. And I've not seen Omni-Man fight anyone psychic, so.
Yeah.
Interesting. He had to get to 100, I guess, and maybe have a chance.
Yeah, yeah. 100% Mob Psycho.
Okay. Yep. Next question. There are a lot of side characters on this show. Who is your favorite, Rob?
I'm actually. She got some love in the recap. I'm gonna give Adam Eve a shout out. I thought she was dope every time she was on screen. I enjoyed it. You know, she was very helpful to Mark. I kind of expected her at first to be like, all right, like the rest of the Teen Titan guys that she was hanging out with were not cool. Rex Bloat is a dick.
Oh, I fucking hate that guy.
I love the actor that plays him. Jason Mantzoukas is hilarious, but his character is a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
But she's like, not only is she cool, she's trying to help Mark out. She's even like trying to like help him in his relationship scenario, even though she's kind of like feeling him a little bit, it seems to be. She's even still like trying to tell Amber like, no, like he's got his reasons, yada, yada. But still, like, she also seems to be a pretty powerful hero on her own. Like, I'm not saying she necessarily gives Omni-Man a problem, but the fact that she has those powers that allow her to, like, create stuff out of nothing, like, she creates that whole, like, tree fort thing. Like, she beats the fuck out of Rexplode in those trials for the Guardians, and then it's just like, I don't even need this shit. Like, she just walks out of there after showing everybody that she is probably one of, could have been the best players on the team. No, I like her style. I like that she has a cool power set, and she just seems to be just a good person. Adam Eve so far in a show that's littered with shitty people seems to be at least so far on the up and up.
There's so many shitty people in this show, man. I like the Beast Girl.
She's cool.
I think it sucks that she, you know, she gets younger the more I guess she uses her powers, right? Mm-hmm. But I liked her all up until, you know, she got smacked on.
She got hurt.
Yeah, she got damaged pretty bad. But I'm just laughing at some of the parts. Like, the girl that can turn into like multiple women was out there like having like a nine-some with fucking Rex. That was just so disrespectful, man. Like, this show has no filter at all.
And then had the nerve to say something to her like, "Oh, you're not even the real one." She's like, "We're all the real one." What a fucking asshole.
He's a dick, bro.
That's a score, though.
Like, I mean, for him, he's pulling. He's pulling two at the baddest.
No, look over.
He's a dick, and then even
as
the
much as he wants.
But Cameron looked over there. Cameron was like, yeah, that was
but I mean,
cool
he's
right
a dickhead. He pulled the baddest chick in Adam Eve.
He pulled both of the baddest chicks.
Then he pulled the multiple girls. Then I guess the girl that's turning young, she started to feel him at one point, too. Wasn't she trying to...
That's why Robot picked... his body,
yeah.
Because he's like, why did you pick me? And he's like, well, I noticed that she was into you,
bruh. fellas, women love assholes, man. This show, I know it's a show, I know it's a cartoon, but Brennan, go ahead.
I'm gonna take Battle Beast.
He was the dude that put the hurt on everybody.
Yeah,
you know
line.
What's funny?
Is
I
he
thought
the
whole.
Guy?
Yeah, that's the line.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
The whole time I thought I thought Omni Man was dressed in a costume as him.
No, I'm the man.
That's what I thought it was.
No, Battle Beast took zero L's. Like,
he was smacking them, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, out of all the other villains we've seen in the show, like, even Omni Man took some L's. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't lose to anybody, but he got his ass whooped.
Yeah.
You know, but like Battle Beast? No, sir.
Yeah.
Battle Beast showed up for one fight.
Yeah.
And what happened? He killed everybody. Like, he didn't kill, he could have. Yeah, if it wasn't certainly. For the way that fight, he had everybody in the palm of his hand and was like, I'm bored. Y'all suck. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, y'all are not worthy of my fighting skills. And the truth was, they were not.
Yeah.
I would like to see a fight with Omni-Man versus Battle Beast.
That would be a good one.
It'd be a good one because Battle Beast ain't no hoe. Like, yeah. I think Omni-Man would win. Yeah. But I feel like he'd be like, he would look like he looked after he fought like the Guardians.
And Battle Beast gave the disrespect to where he beat the shit out of everybody, had them all on death's door, and was just like, it's not even worth killing you guys.
And then left.
I'm out.
Yeah, so I was like,
not even a real
watching those episodes. I was like, why is no one talking about Battle Beast?
Yeah,
like Battle Beast, because like for me, the character design, I was like, when Battle Beast showed up, I was like, this is some cannon fodder. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is somebody like, you know, like for example, like in comic books, somebody who the most protagonist cannon fodder of all time, in my opinion, in comic books that I used to read, is The Thing. You know what I'm saying? If you watch, it's from the Fantastic Four. All he is a measuring stick for the bad guys to whoop ass. Like, that is the entire role of The Thing. And that's what I thought Battle Beast was going to be. I thought Battle Beast was going to show up, like, I'm strong, let me crush a car with my hands. And then, like, you know, whoever shows up and whoops Battle Beast's ass. But that is not what, like, the character design is very boring. It's like, you're a lion face buff man.
Yeah.
Like, that's
like,
it.
I like this character design.
No, but at the same time, it's not super flashy. He's not flying around. He's not shooting lasers. Like, I'm strong. He put out that mace and put it so far up everybody's ass. I was like, I didn't see it coming. Battle Beast for the W.
Yeah, and he was in that ending montage just continuing to do what he does best, just still
Battle Beast
wrecking
has,
people.
Battle Beast has more ass to whoop in season two. I guarantee that.
Yeah, yep. I'm hyped. Next question. What was the subway scene the most jarring scene of the show to you? This show in general.
Yeah, this show.
Brennan.
Oh my god, yeah. Like, there was a lot of jarring scenes in this show.
Yeah.
But like, when Omni-Man took his blood, his kin, his son, down after his son begged for the lives of the human beings and Ted, they're insignificant. Matter of fact, dragged him down to a subway, held his face into a subway car as it crashed into them. To be decimated and everyone die by the force of that subway train hitting your almost invincible body and watching all the humans you want to protect. I've never seen a villain do something like that before. And I was just like, yo, I love antagonists. I'm in on this Omni-Man shit, bro. Omni-Man is the truth. Like, that is, what? Like, what?
Yeah.
Anytime you talk to anybody about the show, they bring up the subway scene.
Absolutely. Because
you're just like, what the fuck? So, yes, for me, that shit, I honestly would say that scene changed my expectations of antagonists moving forward.
Damn.
Rob.
I mean, obviously, it's one of the climaxes of the show entirely, but to go with something a little different, I would say another scene that, because also by that time, you've seen so much violence on the show that, like, I can't say I was desensitized to the point where it didn't have any effect on me, but I was just like, well, damn. You know, like, I mean, at this point, it was a level of violence that I kind of had come to expect. I will say one of the scenes that was really shocking for me was the first time those interdimensional aliens showed up, and Mark was like, oh, this, I got to go help. My dad's out, down for the count. I got to go do my thing and show it what everybody I can do out here. And he is just hopeless. And he's just like trying to save people. People are getting turned into red juice. Like, just getting absolutely blasted. He tries to save that old woman and crashes, and her legs just like hanging by its skin. It's like, that was the, like, watching that, you see, like, okay, it's not like he's just gonna, like every other superhero thing where he's just gonna show up and he gets it. Like, this is a job that he's gonna have to get better at. And he is not good at it now.
Yeah.
He's not a good hero. And the only reason he survived and that wasn't a huge PR nightmare for him is because those Teen Titans dudes showed up and helped him and basically bailed him out.
Yeah. I got to go to a different scene, too, I guess. But that train scene is just... My jaw was on the floor that whole train killing everybody. I was just like...
It just
I thought something was going to happen where somebody was going to stop it. And it was just like, No.
You can't.
I'm gonna go with the scene that Brennan missed.
Yeah,
the scene where he fought the what are they called again?
The Guardians of the
Guardians
Globe.
Of Guardians of the Globe, bro. That right there set the tone to where this show is not playing games. You're seeing brains get splattered. He's punching people through the fucking chest. Like, this is same thing with that scene. My jaw, I was grabbing invisible people. I was like, oh! I was watching it by myself. I was just like, what the fuck is happening? And because I'm thinking, like, there's no way. I was like, this must be like a dream sequence or something like that, or whatever the case may be. And when he killed everybody, I was like, even though I was like, nah, the Wonder Woman chick, she's gonna survive. There's no way he's gonna knock her out because she's gonna be like a strong Wonder Woman type person.
Yeah.
No. He stomped people's brains in. This show. Bro, I've never seen anything like this show. Me personally, I'm pretty sure there's other anime out there like this too.
Yeah,
I've never seen it. There is
The Boys. That's the closest I've seen anything to.
The Boys. This is an animated. I say this is an animated version of The Boys, but probably even a little bit further.
Oh, it takes it further. I mean, because The Boys is like with that scene where it's like the whale gets hit with the boat.
I mean, you're talking about like gore factor or like intensity factor.
Just all of the things.
All that shit.
Because like
bro.
You can go so much more gory in an animated aspect and still course, get it on TV than like live action.
Yeah.
True. But that train scene, bro, that subway scene is just, whew, it's second to none.
I love it.
Next question. How do you think Omni-Man would fare against the Justice League? So he beat up the Guardians of the Globe. He smoked their
ass. Does that include Spider-Man? I mean, Superman?
What?
Superman.
The whole Justice League, yes. That includes Batman. That includes Superman.
Wow.
Because right now, there's a lot of arguments online that I see. And I know I refer to TikTok sometimes. But people always have this scene about TikTok and... Who will win out of Iron Man and Superman right now? You have been saying fucking Spider-Man.
You're welcome.
Man, I don't know. I think that's where he runs into trouble is Superman. But I just don't know because Omni-Man is willing to kill. This is not like evil Superman. I'm talking about regular Superman. Maybe if it's evil Superman, we have a whole different fight we're talking about. I think he murders Batman. I think maybe Wonder Woman survives too. Maybe she does her thing. The last little truth, I don't know. But I think Superman, if Superman's pulling this whole, hey man, you just gotta slow down and stop, man. You're wilding out right now. He's gonna be like, all right,
bitch. If they're trying to save him, I think they're dead.
They're dead. I agree 100%.
But I think also if they did use teamwork, and I feel like the Guardians of the Globe didn't have time to actually, like if it was like, okay, you're gonna fight this person, they set up a time and they actually were like, okay, this is how we attack him. Yeah. Whereas they're so totally like taken off guard.
Just like they come into the scene out. Just like how they came in, the Guardians of the Globe came in to say, hey man, what's going on? He caught us in for
then
me.
I think they're dead.
Oh shit. Rob?
I think he murders everybody. I think with maybe the exception of Superman, kind of like you were just saying, like I think he wade through the if it's the same situation, like you can bring not even just like the one for ones that they had, like bring in the Aquaman, bring in yada yada, bring in the Wonder Twins, bring in Aqualad, bring in everybody. Omni-Man is cutting through all of them, with the exception of Superman. And I feel like Superman's gonna have, unless he finishes, if Superman's the last one left, then I think he's got a chance. Because I think at that point, there's an argument to be made that he'd be like, all right, there's no reasoning with this dude. I gotta go to 10.
Yeah.
And I think we also saw from that fight that he, if you throw enough damage at Omni-Man, he will feel it.
Yeah.
He's not in, I don't feel like it's the same for Superman. I feel like if you've got Kryptonite, that's one thing. But if you don't have Kryptonite, you're not putting a scratch on Superman. Yeah. Like, I don't feel like there's much.
What's the dark side does?
He does, but he's also like a totally different. He's also Kryptonian, isn't he?
No.
Well, I thought he was like a Kryptonian weapon or something.
No, he's not.
Okay. Well, he's still.
There's certain people that have laid ass whoopings on Superman without Kryptonite.
Yeah,
Darkseid's like the only. Him and Doom. Shit, what's his name? Is it the
Doomsday?
Big rocky guy? Is it Doomsday?
Doomsday.
Yeah, okay, Doomsday was actually who I was thinking of.
Yeah, Doomsday is Kryptonian weapon.
But I think he's the Kryptonian weapon. He has like part of the DNA in him and makes him.
See, that makes sense. Yeah. And I know Darkseid's like they're Thanos, right? He's like their ultimate big bad. Mm. So like obviously, but you have to get to those levels before you're dealing with something like that. And I think we were talking about this, I think, even before the show, but there's an argument to be made that a strong argument to be made that Omni-Man isn't even shit amongst his own people.
Yeah.
And we could just be dealing, he could be like mid to bottom rung. I think that's one of the scarier things about this is that he's just rank and file soldier sent out to this planet.
No, they said he was elite.
Okay, he's elite, but he's still not a general. He's still not like calling the shots. And so, I mean, there's also the same argument you made with Superman, but all that to say, I think there's a case to be made where Superman wins. I don't think anybody else comes close.
Brennan.
I don't see how Omni-Man wins that fight. And the reason is because, like, it's just because it's a one-to-one ratio. So Omni-Man was made off of Superman but doesn't have all the powers of Superman. Their strength is arguably the same. Yes, Omni-Man has a killer instinct, but Omni-Man doesn't have a whole team behind him. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was Omni-Man, like, that's why I asked the question when you said it off top. If it was Omni-Man versus the Justice League minus Superman, then I think the same thing we saw happen is going to happen again.
Yeah.
But because Superman's there, then I think Justice League and Superman kick his ass. Because it's just like, Superman's going to be going toe-to-toe with him, and everybody else is just whooping his ass in the sides. You know what I'm saying? And if he kills one of them, that's all it's going to take for Superman to go off. It's not about all of them dying.
There was that moment, too, where, like, the Martian guy got him, like, tied up, and what are their names? Immortal and they were laying the fucking smack down on him.
There were moments they were like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's without them having their Superman.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Is like, if you have Superman, who is the one-to-one, Superman has laser vision, and he has ice breath. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, he has that. He's as fast as a Flash, which is the same thing as Omni-Man. He has this very similar strength. They're one-to-one. So I'm saying it's like, Superman might get knocked back a couple times, but to your point, he's not really going to get hurt very quickly. And so he's going to be going toe-to-toe with Omni-Man, and the Flash, Wonder Woman, you know, like the Martian Manhunter, they're all going to be fucking him up from the sides. Like, he doesn't have a chance. Because Superman is going to take all... I know, right? Superman is going to take all of his attention. And he's going to be enough by himself.
But you got to remember, I said how they got dropped and how they got dropped.
I get it. It doesn't matter. Like, Superman's in that room.
Yeah, like, you can't punch a hole through Superman.
What I'm saying is at least three or four of them are probably going to be dead pretty fast.
Oh, they take some losses, I think.
No, they're going to take some losses, but they're not going to lose is my point. Like, if Superman is in that room.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is.
They come out on top.
The better argument for me is, like, would the actual Justice League be able to take him without Superman? That's a different question for me. And I'd say, I think they would. I honestly do think they would fare better than these guys, because
we know more about them than we know these. Like, I don't know any of these guys.
But I'm just saying their Aquaman was trash.
I heard the Flash can. I heard the Flash can beat a lot of people because like
the Flash can tap into the Speed Force, move at the speed of light, and touch him, and you know blow his molecules apart. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But he's got to be fast enough to do that. He's got to be able to get to that point before Omni-Man gets to him.
Well, the other thing he could do is he could run in circles around that room as fast as he can and create a vacuum. You know what I'm saying? Like there's so many things that could have happened. You know, and it's just like. You know, and even the Martian Manhunter, like in
Martian
this show,
Manhunter's
is a mental fighter. Though.
No, but he's the weak. He's the strongest, weakest character in the Justice League.
Oh yeah, because fire, just like
because anything he gets electrocuted, done. whole episode. Yeah, any TV show he's
if
in.
If you're not focusing on him.
He gets knocked out once and he's done for the whole episode. He is so powerful.
But they have to take him out because he's that powerful. And that's my point being. Martian Manhunter is pretty much the Professor X of that universe. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like they start off the fight. The first thing that happens is that dude jumps in his head and mobilizes his body. And then everybody wrecks him. You know, so it's like, I don't know. I think Omni-Man will probably win that fight, but it'd be a much better fight against the Justice League minus Superman. But if Superman's there, it's not close.
That's fair.
For sure.
All right. I read way too many comics, bro.
I mean, you got a deeper DC world than
like
I am.
Spider-Man
so,
could be Omni-Man.
Yeah.
Why does he have a microphone?
All right, next question, man. Would you have handled the alien invasion differently from Omni-Man if you were him? Brandon.
All right, so this I wanted, so I switched the questions. You saw that I did that on purpose, mostly because I wanted to talk about this. This was a thought. This is an argument that I've been having since I watched that episode with a few different people. Of y'all remember the alien invasion came back, and every time they came back, they were trying to take over Earth in a different way. Like, oh, we got the bracelets now, we just are immune, blah blah blah. And you got to think about it, the way I think about it like this is that our traditional superheroes take care of things in a different way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like they would show up and they would just repel them back, and they'd be like, okay, we need to go there and beat the shit out of them, but also teach them that this isn't going to happen or whatever, and let them survive. Omni-Man goes over there and, you know, levels the entire civilization. That's the reason why I want to ask this question. Like, would you have tried to handle this differently as Omni-Man? Because obviously they were no match for Omni-Man.
No.
They were never going to be a match for Omni-Man.
So you're saying as Omni-Man?
Yeah, if you're Omni-Man.
If I'm Omni-Man and I'm him? So, I think you do.
Are we Omni-Man with his mentality? Or yeah.
No. You're Omni-Man with you have Omni-Man's powers with your brain.
With my brain.
That's what I'm saying. So Omni-Man, being Omni-Man as a literal genocidal maniac, just said the only way to fix this problem is to completely destroy everyone. Mm. Like, not teach them a lesson. Make sure there's nothing else to learn. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so for me, I'm like, yeah, that's an effective way. Tony Valentino watched the show, and he's the first person I had the argument with. He's like, no, that's exactly what you need to do. I'm like, of course you'd say that, Tony. And so for me, I'd say that, like, I think Omni-Man's initial approach was correct in the sense of, like you know, showing up and then beating the shit out of them, you know, but not necessarily devastating their entire civilization. It's more so, like, teaching them a lesson is what I think it happens. Like, look, you don't come here, and here's why, and just destroys all of their militaries and just fucks them up to a level that doesn't make any sense, but not wiping them from the universe. I don't think that needs to happen. It's just like, yo, I'm going to teach y'all this, that you should never come back here, and if you do, I'm coming back with more of me. Because the thing is, if you beat somebody bad enough, then they're just going to be like, yeah, why don't we do that? We started this.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be so upset, and they're going to spend their entire existence and rest of their lives trying to beat you.
Exactly.
And so that's the argument that Tony Valentino made.
And that was the argument I was going to go with. I get your point. From a regular human being standpoint, yes. It's like, we're like, hey, man, just so y'all know, this is what happens to your people back there.
Think about it, though. Like, if right now, our dumbasses as humans started learning how to make portals of different universes and decided instead of going to make friends, we're going to go and conquer these other universes.
Which is what I think we would do.
Possibly. So we go and try to conquer these other universes, and we're like being assholes, but it's not really the common people on the ground doing that. It's just the military. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And then they go off and do it, and that brings upon massive death to us because of that. And that massive death comes, and it doesn't kill everybody, but it fucks up a lot of us. And we're like, we're not doing this anymore. Yeah. We didn't need to do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, why? Yeah.
Okay.
Like, that'd be it. Like, that's it. Like, government, resources, no mass.
Yeah. I would go there. I would wreck shop, but I would try my best not to kill a whole bunch of innocents. But his probably mindset, well,
that's my point. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I think it's tough too, because I think his mindset is like, well, y'all kill innocents here, so why would we give a fuck about y'all people?
That's the thing. Because you kill innocents, they're like, oh, they've got a rule.
Then
we'll
they don't have a rule. So it's like,
that's the question though. Do you want to be a hero, or do you just want to be a force?
It's not about, I think I can still be a hero by doing what he did. And I'm honestly, I would probably I think I would do what Omni-Man did.
Is Omni-Man a hero?
No.
But I would his people.
No, I'm asking you.
Huh? I mean, Rob, that's a great question.
Is Omni-Man a hero for Earth?
For Earth? Nah.
He saved it.
I mean, I guess you could technically call him a hero for Earth if that's the case.
Like, how many by times, default.
How many times has he saved the Earth?
Yeah, but in that way of just like, all right, I'm saving you because you're my property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not because he cares about it.
Yeah. Still saved it.
That's
So what does it make him then? What's the word?
Well, you get the word?
He'd be like an anti-hero maybe at best.
All right, but how would you answer this question, Rob?
I'm a little
This is all just for Rob, just for the record. I did this for Rob.
I'm a little bit with Keenan and Tony on this one. Almost because it's just like, have you ever had like a little brother or a little cousin that like used to annoy you and you're like, bro, stop. Bro, stop. Bro, stop. Like, they keep coming back every time. And it's just like, okay, what you need to learn is a fucking lesson right now. Yeah. I'm going to come to your side. I'm going to wreck everything.
Yeah.
It's not yours to conquer.
But there's a difference between wrecking some things and wrecking everything. Mm-hmm. Like, he decimated the entire existence of that whole civilization. Are you saying that that's the approach? Or are you just going to fuck it up really bad?
No, because I, especially if I am Omni-Man, like, and I am there to do a job, and that job is to take Earth, and I have these other people kind of stepping in on my territory.
Let me say, you have Omni-Man's powers, is what I'm saying.
I'm born on Earth, I have Omni-Man's powers.
Correct.
I'm still probably going over there and causing a whole lot of problems.
But are you killing all the innocents? Are you killing everybody?
I don't know. Children, I'm not killing everybody. And he didn't kill everybody because they
dropped the rock on them.
But they also showed up in the final montage, too, of them, like, plunging the knife in his face. Because, like, to your point, they definitely have revenge on the mind, and they are definitely not dissuaded from coming back.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
What if you tried to make peace with them?
I just don't know that that's the case, because I don't remember exactly what it is that they're after, but I got the impression that, you know, they need something. You know, they're not coming here as hard as they're coming at us because for fun. They are coming here because they need something for their own survival. And sometimes it comes down to it's us or it's them.
Yeah.
And I think, and if it's that choice, it's them.
I agree with that. I just really want to hear Rob make an evil argument.
An evil argument. I mean, I especially if they keep coming through like the third time and it's the same dude. I'm just like, all right, you're gonna remember this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm done messing around with you.
Yeah.
All right.
Villainous Rob, I love it, man.
Speaking of villainous Rob,
all right. Which are the lingering threats that were teased at the end of the season are the most exciting that you want to see come back, Rob?
So, yeah, we saw, as we mentioned a few times, we've seen a couple things that, you know, kind of got addressed but not necessarily solved at the end of this episode or at the end of the season. And I think the thing that I'm most excited to come back, or at least, like, left the biggest question mark in my mind, are those parasites that they picked up off of Mars.
Oh, yeah.
Because as far as it guaranteed, we know that they took over Mars. Yeah. They took over everything there. We've got at least one on our planet. And we know, just because of how it happened, that humans are vulnerable to them as well. The only person on planet Earth at this point that's not vulnerable to them is Mark.
Yep.
And before that, it would have been Mark and his dad.
Yep. Yeah.
So it could be to the point where, you know, obviously we don't know what's going to happen, at least in this room. But Mark could see his dad's like, you know, what are you going to do when all these people are gone? That could come to fruition much sooner than anticipated if these things get out of control. And then he's got to start wiping out humanity himself just to save who's left. You know what I mean? It could, like, these, I think these mind control things are probably, to me, the biggest threat that are just sort of looming in the distance, other than the Viltrumites.
Mm. Damn. See, you're talking about the biggest threat. Yeah, I think that might be. I think it might be that. But who I would want to see, which of the threats are you most excited to see? I mean, I want to see what's his name come back. I want to see like the guy he picked earlier.
Battle Beast.
Damn you!
Yeah,
I was gonna be like two words. Battle Beast. All right, I got to back up. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to see. I just want to see because I liked him. I think he was super dope. I think he got he was in and out. It was one of those characters like you saw. He's like, I want more of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see more of this dude, and I do want to see how he fares against. Because I think he was. I think if he comes back again, he's going to smack Invincible up. He'll destroy his ass again. And I just want to see
he's
how
gonna get zeked.
Yeah, I want to see how Omni-Man's fair. Is Immortal fully dead now?
Never.
No, I don't think so. I think that's his thing, is that as long as you can put his shit together, he can come back. Okay. He also got zeked because when he went back out
the second time
at Omni-Man again, that was the episode I watched after we got back from the Demon Slayer movie, and I was like, what the fuck?
What, why did he think he was gonna fuck with Omni-Man?
He just did the same thing the same exact time.
Like, you gotta be smarter than that, bro.
Yeah.
No, I would have gone to like the agency and said, "Hey guys, all right, so I want to go fight him.
Like, give me a battle suit or something.
Yeah, give me something. Like, I got some back of the missiles. Like, that gun you use, bro. Like, what you got? Like,
But I think there's a possibility. Sorry to step on your answer a little bit, but there's a possibility where he does come back, and then he could end up training Mark to become like,
stronger.
All right, listen, you want to know how to beat this dude?
I don't know how to beat him, but I can help you get stronger.
I can at least help you get better than where you're at.
Yeah.
He could become the next mentor figure for Mark.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, mine's just Battle Beast. What you got, Brandon?
I got a stupid one, but I like it.
All right.
This is a scene we haven't talked about yet. But you guys remember, like, one of the episodes started off with, like, in, like, the Egyptian tomb, and then, like, this is the, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then it's, like, that thing that mummy was about to come out, and the spirit looks super powerful, and then Mark flies by and accidentally just shuts the door on it, and it just never gets mentioned again. I feel like that was about to be lit. Like, yeah. I really do. And it's just like, yo, maybe the pyramid just has the only way of sealing the power of this incredibly powerful mummy that was about to escape. We didn't see it. So, like, for me, I'm just like, I like mummy shit. Let's go. I thought that was so funny. I love it when shows do shit like that. They're just like, let me put you in this whole scene and do this whole thing. And it's just like, nah, fuck that. Like, because it was just like, it was such a setup. And I loved it because it was just like, this is how insignificant things like this are on this show, because this shit is lit.
And
you didn't even think about it again, right?
Yeah, yeah. I did not think about it.
Now that I'm saying it, until you said it.
Yeah, but now that I'm saying it, you're like, oh, fuck, right?
That could totally come back. I would not be shocked. I think everything's on the table.
I'm excited to see the Moeller twins. I want to see them again.
I like them.
Yeah,
they're fun.
They're still out there.
Wait, who?
The Mahler twins, the cloners.
Oh,
they were cool.
Fun.
They were just a
fun
time. They were
good. I like their personality. They were
that's the thing.
Yeah, and that whole like concept of like, we purposely don't let each other know who the clone is.
Yeah, like you really can't, because then one's going to have a complex or something like
right.
that.
Yeah, even though they still have a complex about it. So funny.
Yeah.
Say it, say it, say it. Every time I saw it, I was looking at Mina, I was like, Mina Alonso, I'm like, Lonzo's my twin brother, by the way. I'm like, who's better, bro? Who's better? Who was supposed to be firstborn?
Lonzo's better.
Say
for
it. Say it.
Not even close, guys. It's Lonzo for sure. Just so you know. Follow his brother, man. He's better than Brandon. I'm just joking. All right, man. That's the Keenan question portion of the show. One more time for Brendan's shirt, looking nice in that orange.
Looking very good. Very sharp.
One time for fuck you, Rob Honda.
Oh, man. Looking so good.
All right, man. Let's get into our likes and dislikes and you know, our rating for this show. Fuck it. I'll go first.
Go for it. Go first. Take us out.
Man, there was. Oh, okay. So what I disliked about this show, man, I hate to say it, man. Amber was an asshole, bro. Like, I wanted to like her more. I like Zazie Beetz because I know this has nothing to do with her actually, but I just like her as an actress, and she plays the voice of Amber. Man, and then I found out like they made her into a black girl, and then they switched the personality type, and then because the other girl was more sympathetic to him being a hero, and they're making this girl like, well, you're a hero? I fucking knew the whole time, and I still didn't give a shit. It's like, that makes zero sense. I don't think any girl or any person finds out you're a hero and goes, I don't care, bro, you just need to spend time with me. Like, I don't think that's...
It's because you couldn't tell me the truth.
Yeah, get the all the way fuck out of here. That I literally swung at my screen. That was so stupid. the likes about the show, god damn, there's so many. There's so many things. Every brutal fight scene, the story, the length of the show. I was glad it was 45 minutes. This is like a half-hour sitcom. I mean, not a sitcom, but a half-hour show, technically 22 minutes. I would have been like, this is not enough. This show gave me everything I wanted, everything I needed. Especially after watching some dope ass anime, this show, I was like, all right, Americans, we got something here. We can do some dope shit. I'll keep it short, man. I loved it top to bottom. I can't wait for season 2 and season 3. Overall, man, 8,500, bro. This shit was, I want to rate it higher, but I feel like if I gave it a perfect score, it just wouldn't be. I guess I didn't want to make it the ceiling for sure. I mean, yeah, the ceiling for sure. But 8,500, easy work. Brennan.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great show. I'd recommend it to anybody that can stomach it. It's absolutely, absolutely entertaining from the beginning to the end. The things that I didn't like, I'd say the dislikes that I had aren't strong, man. I didn't really like Mark's best friend. I didn't really like him. Just didn't care about him.
Yeah, didn't give him much.
I mean, he's just like, you know, when Omni-Man rolls up on his car and he's just like, I don't know where. You know, I was just like,
dude, oh my god, that scene though. Tell me you wouldn't have just like,
I would have shit
myself.
Pants. I would have shit myself. That was terrifying. Myself, I don't really have any real dislikes of the show. Like, I just like that it's over. My likes are wide and far ranging. I really love the idea of Adam Eve's power. I really like just the utter devastation of everything. What actually, you know what I didn't like? I didn't like the costume making guy.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I just didn't like him. Every time we went to his space, I thought it was just dumb. But those are the most boring scenes in the whole show. Whenever they're in his space, it's boring.
They went long in there though.
I know, still boring. But I mean, compared to everything else, compared to the rest of the show, that was boring as shit.
The rest of the show is on fucking 10, Brandon.
I know.
I mean,
all right. I'm looking for. I'm reaching here, bro.
Yeah,
like, I'm not.
That feels like a reach, but okay.
It was a reach. I own it. I own that's a reach. But I love the show, man. Like everything, like the action, the story, the character development, just the factor of like the shock factors.
Yeah.
The non-linear storyline where you just like don't know how things are gonna go together. Yeah. Kind of reminds me the way this written. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Rick and Morty because okay. there is a timeline to it, but each episode stands alone as well. Mm. You know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was here for it, man. Everything about the show is a shit. I'm gonna stick close to Keenan's rating. I'm gonna say this 8400. Absolutely fire. I enjoyed everything about this. This is one of the best experiences I've had watching almost anything.
Yeah, and I love every beginning credit where
where it says the word invincible. Yeah.
More blood was on it, which means it's going to fuck down.
No, also,
episode.
Last thing I want to say that I do love about this show is that I love that they don't give a fuck. They will cut out of a scene. They cut out the scenes at the perfect time because, like, we already know what's going to happen at the rest of the scene, and they'll just cut out. You know, I'm just like, yeah, well, I didn't need to see the rest of this. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. 8400, Rob.
Dislikes. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to find any. I did really like the show. I mean, you guys have covered a lot of it. I think there's a lot of reasons to like this. Even if you're not necessarily a fan of the superhero genre. I mean, you said Tony was watching it. Did he give you his thoughts about it? He was just like, okay.
He's like, how much exposition is there going to be in this show? He hated it. I mean, he was
really?
Like,
wow.
He was like, it's fine. It's fine.
All right.
I should have brought him in for this.
It's got to be really out there for Tony to go rave over it.
The only reason that's Tony true. Would like something is if nobody else likes it or knows about it.
That's what I mean. It has to be really out there. It has to be like the cat's version of Invincible.
Because we told him, because Kev on stage watched it. He's like, this is great. Mm-hmm. You know, I watched it. Cameron watched it. We all watched it.
We were all watching
it. We were like, you have to watch this. And he's like, I don't want it. And we got on the road and he watched it. And he was like, I was watching it with him. He's like, is this scene ever going to end? I'm like, fam, like you just
you're right. He just looks for reasons to not like it because
they're just going to keep talking about how strong they are. Like, Tony, shut the fuck up. Like, Jesus, bro.
Was there ever a conversation of how strong they were? I don't remember that conversation.
No, I mean, it's like the first couple episodes, like the very first episodes was a lot of, the first episode was boring. It was exposition. It was. Mm-hmm. But it was supposed to be. That's what sets up everything.
That's why they threw that scene at the end, though, to be like, okay, this was boring, but this is where we're going.
Yo, but that's what I'm saying. Like, everything has its purpose. And he's watching the first episode. He kept looking over. This is the show? This is the show? I was like, just shut the fuck up and watch it, bro. Like, and then at the end of it, he's like, it's all right.
It's also
that's
animated.
That's funny. Yeah, no, that
if it was
sense.
Not animated,
but,
he probably would have.
But that's what I'm saying. But tell me that's not a Tony Valentino.
That's 100% Tony.
Yes.
But to say my dislike is also, I guess, a like because I think it's good storytelling and I hope it comes back later. I really was bummed out when they got rid of Damian Darkblood. I think
I love Damian Darkblood.
If he had been around more, I think he might have taken my favorite side character because when he was doing shit, I was like, what's this guy up to? And I love that he just immediately from the get-go was just like, I don't fucking trust that dude.
Hellboy Dick Tracy?
Yeah,
perfect.
He's John Constantine and Etrigan combined.
Yeah, just like totally. Yeah. So I was bummed that he exited the series a little early, or for the season a little early. I hope he comes back. I thought he was really cool. My likes? I mean, I think overall, all around, it's just a great show that kind of tells a superhero story, but also talks about superhero stories and how they're told and can kind of turn a lot of those things on their head. You know, we've seen a lot of shows out recently where it's just like, what if Superman was bad? And for that reason, I think I stayed away from this show for a while. But then once I got into it, I was like, all right, I'm fucking all in. This is great. Great show. Can't wait for season two. I'm with Keenan. I'm going to give this an 8,500.
Yeah, man. Did I see the show? Did he say you watched it?
He did watch it. I remember his general feelings were, you know, it started out great. Then he said he thought it sort of dipped in the middle. And then by the time it got to the end, he was like, I'm all in. This is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Did Tony B watch The Boys?
He did. He
loved
liked The Boys.
That's why I'm like, he would have liked this if it wasn't animated.
Got it.
It's basically The Boys, but animated.
In a lot of ways, it's very similar.
It's very adjacent to that, like, realistic superhero telling.
Okay. Well, let us know what y'all think in the comment section of the show, man. It's a lot to digest. Give us your rating in the comment section also. Y'all be giving y'all ratings, man. Give us your rating in the comment section, all right? Go ahead, drop your stuff, man. Brennan?
At Brennan the Best.
Rob?
I'm going to plug another artist. On Twitter, this guy, M. Borkowski. That's M-B-O-R-K-O-W-S-K-I. His name's Michael Borkowski. He's actually... from my hometown of Syracuse, New York, and he's an artist. He did storyboards for Invincible. He did the storyboard for the Think Mark Think scene. So check this dude out.
Wow.
He's a great artist. He puts a lot of fun stuff out there, you know, whether it's he draws like athletes, he does stuff for Marvel, he does stuff for Invincible. Great artist. Seems like a good dude. Check him out.
Definitely give a follow. Just that scene alone, give him a damn follow.
Yeah.
Rob, are you saying you're not going to do your social media
not. Nobody needs to see my social media.
All right, man. Ice.McGowan on everything for Ice. Myself, Keenan Baker on everything. Animation, SHUN podcast on every single thing. Yeah, man. And we'll see ya next week on another episode of Animation.
We out. And so anime was solved forever.